in our time of anticipation of Christmas. And I love Christmas. I've always kind of loved Christmas. As a child, I loved Christmas for a different reason. Now that I'm a follower of Christ, I love Christmas for the greatest of reasons. But as a child, I remember that sometimes on the 23rd, that Christmas Eve, that I would have a very difficult time going to sleep. Maybe you were there with me, where you were anticipating what was coming up the next morning, that it was hard for me to lay down my head and to relax and enough so that the night could go faster. You know, that the next morning it would come, and then I would get up and I would have the joy of waking and finding gifts scattered all over the house and having time of good food and seeing people. It was just a good time. I loved Christmas. And on Christmas Eve, countless people live in, all around the world, countless people live in a world where they're anticipating of joy coming the next morning. And I hope you're there, your anticipation of the joy coming next morning. Children around the world are in anticipation of like I was as a kid, of opening presents, right? You know, the gifts underneath the tree, of stockings filled with all these goodies, of, you know, the sugar and stuff that, you know, most kids thrive upon and like to eat. And I remember playing with my friends outside, you know, going out and building snowmans and snow forts and having snowball contest fights or whatever else, just running around and tackling each other in the snow. And it was just a good time. I remember those times. And as kids, hopefully, they probably anticipate some of that still. I hope they do. And as adults, we anticipate the coming of the next morning on our Christmas Eve. We anticipate the coming of Christmas Day, of spending time with loved ones, of seeing people and coming together with those that maybe we haven't seen for quite some time. You know, maybe we anticipate watching the Christmas Day football game. Or perhaps, you know, maybe we just anticipate having an extra day off of work, especially when it falls in the middle of the week, that you get one more day off. You know, as adults, these are sometimes what the things we think about. But the joy of Christmas commonly comes along with the thoughts of ideas and emotions in the world. Those thoughts of generosity and gratitude that we are to have during the Christmas time, where giving thanks for what we've already received and then sharing this with loved ones and those others that are less fortunate around the world. We also have thoughts of unity and goodwill, where we have a time of fellowship with one another and we lay aside past issues and come together in peace. That's that goodwill and unity with each other. That's the joy of Christmas. That's the joy of Christmas that I think that we all should share. But the joy of Christmas in the secular stance is one which there's here one day and then is gone the next. It's not a lasting joy. It's not really joy then. When I look at that and I think about how the outside world thinks about the joy of Christmas, it's not really joy. Instead of of having the joy in their life, they're actually putting happiness in the place of really having joy. And I know that we've talked about the difference between happiness and joy before, but the world speaks of joy. It customarily means just happiness, of being happy. But happiness is not something that is here every day. Happiness is something that is based upon your emotional stance or the circumstances that are happening at the time. Joy is something that is permeates, which lasts. It comes with an internal state of, well, an eternal state of contentment and fulfillment. That's what joy is. That's what joy is. And as the Bible speaks of joy, it means to have a continual relationship with Jesus. And it's renewing contentment, His renewing contentment, commitment, and fulfillment in His name. That's the joy of Christmas. That's the joy that's spoken of in the Bible. That's the joy that Jesus brings and we're to have in our life. And the world cannot know this joy. It will never find this joy. You see, to the world, joy is something as, well, it's selfish in nature. It's selfish in nature. And the problem being is when it's selfish in the nature, the self is rarely satisfied. So when you base your joy upon the self, you're rarely going to be satisfied. You're rarely going to feel joy and to have it with you. But to those that know Jesus, it's different. If you know Jesus in your life, it means that you have a selfless joy. That your joy comes from somewhere besides inside of you. So because we look at it as from somewhere not inside of us, that we look at it from Jesus' point of view, and Jesus is permeating all the time. Jesus is everywhere all the time. The Holy Spirit is with us. We can have joy all the time. No matter what is going on in the world, we can have joy because it's selfless and not selfish. If I was to put it simply for you and to really break it down, that joy in the Lord's kingdom is this. It's not found in receiving and having things in our life to bring fulfillment. But it's based upon giving and blessing others. That brings fulfillment in life. This is the joy of the Lord, and it is our strength. Perhaps you've heard the song before. The joy of the Lord is my strength, right? This is what brings contentment and fulfillment. And in Jesus, we are to rejoice continually. Do you agree? That we're supposed to rejoice continually in Jesus? That when we have Jesus in our life, that we are to have it nonstop every day, every moment of our life. You know, there's a place in the book of Philippians that says this. It says to rejoice in the Lord always. And that wasn't good enough that he just said it once. He said to rejoice in the Lord always. I will say again, rejoice. That when you rejoice in the Lord always, you will find that refreshing and filling cup that comes into your life all the time. Yes, there's days that we empty our cup out, but because Jesus is there, because we rejoice in him, our cup overflows again in a moment's notice. We can have our cup overflowing again and find and rejoice in the Lord always in him. You know, there are places in the Old Testament that God set aside, which the Hebrews were to focus their attention upon. And there's one in particular where they were supposed to focus their attention on to bring them joy. If you have your Bibles with me, I want you to take a look into the book of Deuteronomy with you. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 16. And you will see one of those dates, those days put aside that the Lord had said, I want you to come together for this moment. Chapter 16. And if you're there, you can look at verse 15. This is what mine says. It says, for 7 days celebrate the festival to the Lord your God at the place the Lord will choose. For the Lord your God will bless you in all your harvest and in all the work of your hands, and your joy will be complete. It says you're supposed to what? You're supposed to celebrate to the Lord your God, and your Lord of God will bless you in all your harvest, and your joy will be complete. There's nowhere else that you can look and find and have joy complete. And these are one of the things that God is directing the Hebrews to do because, well, they didn't know that. They didn't know that their joy was going to be complete in the Lord. See, they were still looking for the things of the world to complete their joy, and they weren't going to find it. They would maybe find happiness on occasions, but they wouldn't find joy. They were supposed to set aside these times to be reminded of God's provision of his love and his presence in their life. It's when the Hebrews were to remember what he had given them. And then their joy would be complete. There's a place in Psalms where the psalmist likes to remind us and celebrate this. And it's Psalm 16:11. It says, "You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." The psalmist brings out that God will make known the path of life. That God will fill me with joy in his presence. And then we will experience eternal pleasure at his right hand. It's all about God. It's all about being around God and finding joy in what you're doing in God's presence and having him there and available and working through you with his presence, with his guidance, with his love, with his encouragement, with his wisdom, with his knowledge and understanding. It's about having God in there, and that's when we get to come together and enjoy his presence and find joy, not just for a moment, but eternal. Eternal pleasures at his right hand. There's many different places in the Old Testament where they set aside, where they were supposed to have these celebrations and occasions. And the Hebrews were to approach God, to come forward to God, right? We know that they were supposed to, if we've read the Bible, we know that these festivals were in there. In fact, there's seven main festivals that they were supposed to do for, well, a multitude of reasons. Some of those were festivals for repentance. Some of them were for forgiveness. Some of them were for thanksgiving. That's just to name a few of them. But we live in a different world. We live in a different place than where the Hebrews were, especially during the old time. You see, because our joy comes from knowing a God who chose to approach us and be in our lives. Instead of us setting up a date to come to approach God himself, God says, no, I'm going to flip the script. And I'm going to come to you. I'm going to be a part of your lives. I'm going to approach you so that you will know it continually, forever and always. You will know this joy because I'm going to be with you all the time. We know that this happened because we know the one who chose to be with us. He's our Emmanuel. Right? What does Emmanuel stand for? You guys know. God with us, right? And God is always with us. There's a place in Zephaniah, and we don't often talk about the book of Zephaniah. But he was one of the prophets in the Old Testament. But he had this to say. He said in chapter 3, verse 17, he says, "The Lord your God is in your midst, a victorious warrior. He will rejoice over you with joy. He will be quiet in his love. He will rejoice over you with shouts of joy." Now, if there's anything in there, we all like that word joy. We all want to have the joy, right? But if there's any place in there I want to direct your attention, it's to the first few words in there where it says, "The Lord your God is in your midst." We focus so much on the latter part of that, of having that overwhelming joy with shouts of joy, that we forget the fact that he's in our midst, and that's the only way the joy comes, is having him beside us. Having him in our heart, having him in our lives, wanting him to be a part of who we are. That's when we experience the rest of it. We get the first, and then we receive the latter. We learned all about that with the Beatitudes, of where we experience the first, and then we're given the latter. And this is one way in there. And maybe, well, maybe you want something a little more recent to remind you that God is in your midst. Maybe you're one of those people that says, I want something out of the New Testament, Pastor, because that's something that really resonates with me, that I really think about. Well, I'll direct your attention to the book and the chapter that Pastor Jess actually used this morning, which is in the book of John in the first chapter. And you don't have to look very far. In fact, grab your Bible. I will show it to you. Because I know you're curious, right? Are you curious about what I'm talking? Go to the book of John. First chapter, book of John. First chapter. My pages will not stick together. We'll get there. Okay. John chapter 1. And so use your finger and scroll down with me to verse 14, where it says, and you can read with me if you want, "The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us." The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We've seen His glory and the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. That means that God came down into our midst. He approached us to be a part of our lives, to be loving and guiding and saving us and just being a part of who we are. He says, "I'm going to be in your midst. I'm going to be a part of your life. You no longer have to come to a specific place at a specific time to enjoy my presence. I'm just going to be there with you." And in this way, He came as flesh and blood. He came as flesh and blood to give you love, to give you grace, to give you life. And we know that God never leaves us. Jesus, unfortunately, had to leave us. But He said, "I'm going to send you somebody else. I'm going to send you a helper." That we have the Holy Spirit. So that means God gets to dwell with you whether you like it or not. He's here. He will only enter your heart when you accept Him and invite Him. But He's here. He approaches you every day. Every hour. Every minute. Every so on and so forth, right? That God is here with us right now. He's in our midst. He's in our lives. And He dwells among us. And this is a God who loved us so dearly that He gave up His life for us. Sometimes we skim over that so much. We talk about it so much that we lose a lot of the power in that statement. We talk about it all the time. We focus on it more at Easter. And here we are at Christmas and we're remembering Jesus came as a baby. In a manger. But He came for a purpose. And that purpose was to give His life for us. We had the coming of a miracle who gave us another miracle. And Jesus said, "I'm going to be in your midst, but I'm going to lay my life down for you first so that you can have unending joy." Seems kind of a crazy thing that we could find joy because of somebody's death. But that's the way our God works. He works in different ways than we could ever possibly imagine and think of. Jesus said, "I lay down my life." He says, "I am the good shepherd that I lay down my life." The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. My question is, are you one of his sheep? Do you know Jesus? Have you allowed Him to enter into your heart and into your life? Do you call Him your Lord and your Savior? He says, "I lay my life down for you." And He lays His life down not after we become His sheep, but beforehand. He's already laid His life down for us. All you have to do is accept it. Accept the gift that comes from Jesus and knowing Jesus is living and He died for us. And Jesus was not somebody that was pressured into giving up His life. We may look at it and say, okay, He was just doing His Father's will. Yes, He was. But if you look down further in the book of John, chapter 10, verse 18, it says, "I lay down my life of my own accord." Imagine if you had to make that choice. Would you lay down your life for somebody? Would you lay down your life for your children, your grandchildren, your mom, your dad, grandparents? How about cousins? Would you lay down your life for a stranger? Jesus laid down his life for strangers. And he did so to bring life and to bring joy. An unending joy that comes from nowhere else. Jesus came and gave his life so that we can have life. A life filled with filled with joy only he could bring. And that's a spirit-filled life. The fruit of the Spirit includes joy. The fruit of the Spirit contains joy. The book of Romans talks about how may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with the hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit brings the only lasting joy that you can have in your life. The Holy Spirit brings the fruit that will fill your life and make your life full. If you want to know the fruit of the Spirit that's bring, I suggest you go in the book of Galatians and you read it. Because there's so much more on there just than joy. There's love, there's peace, there's goodness. Well, there's even a little bit of patience in there. This is what just a little bit, right? You want to experience this fruit, you give your life to Jesus, and then you automatically receive it. Because the Holy Spirit comes in your life, comes into your heart. Now this is fruit that can grow and get much bigger, right? It doesn't start off as a fruit basket like you go to the store and you put on your table. It starts with those seeds and you grow this fruit. But when you let the Holy Spirit grow that fruit, it becomes something greater than you could ever imagine. When you let the Holy Spirit plant the seed of joy in your life, that fruit becomes something greater than you could ever imagine. You know what? This is what I'm going to do today. Because I think we all need to spend a little time with Jesus and finding where our joy is at. So I'm going to cut things off a little early this morning. I'm going to end it with this. I'm going to invite the team up because I'm going to end it quick. I'm going to end it with a part of Scripture in 1 Peter, the first letter that he wrote. And I'm going to ask Brandon, Brandon, I put this on there, but I want them just to listen. This is what Peter had to say about finding Jesus, about having joy. It comes from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. It says, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end results of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Now, when I looked that up and I put that part of the message for this morning, I looked at the filled with inexpressible and glorious joy. But I was reviewing today, something else caught my attention in here. It says, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Folks, we're already receiving the end result of our faith. You're already receiving that. We look at something as our faith. It's something that's far off, that we will receive something, that we receive salvation, we receive unending life, that we receive the living water, that we receive the life of Jesus. But we're already receiving it. You're already receiving it. That's a gift already given. If you want to accept it, if you want to realize it in your life, if you want to have joy in your life, if you want to have peace, you want to have hope, you want to have love, it's something that's already given. You're receiving it by your faith. an amazing thing. It's already there. I don't have to wait. It's great when I can realize that I already have access to something that God in His wisdom and His graciousness has already given it. It's like Jesus has already given life. Has already given love. You know, the greatest gift that we can receive this Christmas is not the extra day off. It's not the presents on the tree or the meals that we can enjoy with family and friends and loved ones. You know, it's not any of that. But it's the joy of knowing we have a God who came and approached us and became part of our life. The one who came so and gave up His life so we could have life to the fullest. He came here to save us. And this Christmas, I want you to be able to experience the true joy of Christmas. The unending joy that comes from Jesus Christ. But you have to follow Him. You have to dedicate your life to Him. We look at all the things outside in the world, the secular ways that the world celebrates Christmas with the presents, with the receiving of gifts, with doing a lot of things. But that's not the joy. That's not even real joy. The joy of Christmas comes from being in Jesus and being in His heart. And if you're wondering where your joy is at, look at your walk with Jesus and see how far you might be from Him or how close you might be to Him. And if you want more joy, get closer to Jesus. And this is the reason I'm going to end early, because I want to give you a few moments. As the music team plays, as they sing, maybe take a moment and look and say, Jesus, I want greater joy. I want to be closer to You than ever before. And examine your life and saying, Jesus, how do I get closer to You? Because I want each and every one of us to experience the joy of Christmas.